from the Star Reynolds Sports Desk, your 93.3 KJR-FM Sports Headlines.
All righty, boys and girls, here we go. Headlines on a busy, busy home opening day, live from Jimmy's on First across the street from T-Mobile Park, brought to you by, of course, our friends at VenueKings.com.
Me on Easter weekend, your wife is over here braiding your hair.
That's right. Easter weekend, baby. Your wife's braiding your hair. We are hanging out live at Jimmy's. You want to get in the door, VenueKings.com can get you in for under $40 for the home opener. And you want to go watch the Sounders and Pumas on May the 4th and get you in the door for under $100 right now at VenueKings.com.
The $518,000 sale of what was thought to be Tom Brady's final touchdown pass has been nullified by mutual agreement of the buyer, seller, and the auction house. So that dude is off the hook.
Who would buy a football for $500,000?
A guy with way too much money.
Unbelievable. Mariners and Astros tonight in the opener. Marco
Gonzalez
against Jake Odorizzi. Second start of the year for Marco. Went 2 innings, 6 runs, 2 earned, 3 bombs, 2 walks versus the Twins on Sunday.
Got a couple signings in the NFL. Packers signing wide receiver Sammy Watkins. 1 year deal worth up to $4 million. The Colts have signed 5-time Pro Bowler cornerback Stephon Gilmore, 2 years, $23 million with 14 guaranteed.
A couple of games are final already in baseball. Mets take care of the Diamondbacks 10-3 in Flushing, and the Twins double up Boston at Fenway Park 8-4.
Luka Doncic is going to miss at least game one of the first round series between the Mavs and the Jazz after straining his calf in a meaningless second half of the final regular season game.
Unbelievable. The play-in games are tonight. Pelicans and Clippers. No Paul George. He is out with COVID, by the way, for L.A. Hawks and Cavaliers at 4:30. Winner of that game gets the Miami Heat in the first round of the NBA playoffs.
And here we go.
And now, two goofy, wacko, out-of-touch homers.
Just brutal radio. Just horrible.
Live.
41 yards.
From Elliott Bay.
Can you feel it now?
This is Softy and Dick.
All right, boys and girls, here we go. It is damn good to be back. Opening day from Jimmy's on First. And you know that we are back at Jimmy's on First because it took me about 2 seconds to open up my mouth, and we've already irritated people here at the bar. I got a guy wearing a Randy Johnson shirt. Jersey. I got a guy wearing a, is that a Kyle Seager jersey?
Wow. Okay. My favorite Mariner
of
all time.
We got an Ichiro. We got an Edgar Martinez. We got Kevin Shockey. We got Ian Furness. We got a Dave Niehaus with a 77. I mean, what more do you want, for God's sakes? Got a dude over here in a freaking Seahawk jacket and a Mariner shirt. He looks grumpy as hell, by the way. Somebody get that guy a shot.
He walked in pissed off.
Hey, somebody get that guy a beer. You know what? I don't blame him. He's a freaking Mariner fan. He's been pissed off for 45 years. But you know what? It's going to change, damn it. It's changing this year. But we're here at Jimmy's on First, hanging out until 7 o'clock tonight. Got a lot to get to. Rick Riz will join us at 3:30 on the radio program. A little fun with audio at 4 o'clock. Hugh Millen joining us as well, talking foosball at 5 p.m. And the principal owner of your Seattle Mariners. We're gonna put the Klieg light on this guy. At 4:45, John Stanton's going to swing by the radio show, hang out with us, and talk some baseball.
Does he know what he's getting into?
Oh, I'm sure he does.
He's a good guy. I've always liked John Stanton. He's a very good guy, and I am optimistic about this baseball team that he is owning, and hopefully it
Why? Tell me why.
Well, crap.
About this current version?
I mean, yeah.
Okay, gotcha.
I mean,
did you
see the roster 3 years ago versus the roster now? I mean, it's night and day, and it's actually started to translate into wins. I think if this team would have gone 76-86 last year, we'd still be betting on the speculation. But we've already seen this team can win. So, I mean, it just didn't win the 2 more requisite games it needed to get into the playoffs last year, but it still had plenty of wins for most seasons to be a playoff.
Well, I like your rosy optimism today. It's opening day, so why not? I mean, if they get swept by the Astros, we can have a different conversation on Monday. But, you know, again, I mean, we've been through this a million damn times. There's a lot of people that think the M's were all smoke and mirrors last year with the way they won those 90-plus games. So we'll see. I mean, you know, right now I think you take 3 and 4 on the road. It was terrible weather, obviously, in Chicago and Minnesota. You got a bunch of guys that, let's face it, aren't even hitting, close to hitting yet. Yeah. And you found a way to go 3 and 4 against, you know, maybe a couple of pretty good teams. One in the White Sox for certain. But, man, the big news of the day so far, at least with us, is, holy hell, Mitch Haniger.
Is Ian Furness breaking stories today?
He's absolutely breaking stories on the air. Ian had Jerry DePoto on the air with him just a few minutes ago, and he asked him about signing Mitch Haniger long term. Here's what Jerry said. Check it out.
Mitch Haniger. Priority to get him re-signed, yes. What's the status there?
I can't tell you.
Okay.
No idea. Would love to have Mitch spend his career.
I guess that's a better question.
Takes two to tango. You know, we love Mitch.
The Mariners want Mitch Haniger to be here long term.
Sure. Mitch is a great player. And he's been – when we have been good in my time with the Mariners, Mitch Haniger has been in the middle of it. He was in the middle of it in 2018 when we were an 89-win team. He was in the middle of it last year when we were a 90-win team. My guess is he's going to be in the middle of it this year when we anticipate being a playoff.
Wow, how about that? It takes two to tango. They want him here long term. I mean, let's translate what he just said. He just told you, for lack of a better term, that they want to re-sign Mitch Haniger, and Mitch Haniger is not biting right now. That they've maybe even sounds like offered him a deal or wanted to engage him and his agent in a long-term contract discussion. And either A, Mitch Haniger doesn't like what the M's have thrown at him so far, which is entirely possible, or B, has no interest in talking about a long-term deal. But the way he phrased that right there is that they're interested in doing something, that they would like to get something done, that they think they have an offer that's reasonable, and Mitch Haniger's not dancing with him. He literally just said it takes two to tango. I mean, how else am I supposed to translate that?
I guess if you're Mitch Haniger, do you blame him? I mean, he is in a position right now where he is going to get one contract in his Major League Baseball career,
right.
And it's the one he signs in the next 9 months. He is 31 years of age. And he's a guy that, 804 OPS last year, 39 home runs, 100 RBIs. I mean, I know he's had injury problems, but those type of numbers command some pretty good money in Major League Baseball.
Absolutely.
And I think Mitch just wants to take this puppy to free agency and see what he can get out there.
Or he's getting lowballed, which is entirely possible.
Could be.
It's absolutely possible that first of all, do we believe, if we just look at this logically, right, let's just parse things out from a rational, logical perspective, which we never do here on the radio show, but let's do it right now. Do we believe it's more likely than not? Well, let me just backtrack. Jerry just said they want him here, right? Correct.
Yes.
They want him here long term. So do we believe that Jerry DePoto with Ian Furness was truthful when he said we want Mitch Haniger here long term?
Yes.
I agree with that. Is it logical, is it rational to believe that the Mariners have made some kind of an offer to Mitch Haniger via his agent?
Yes.
Okay, I agree with that as well. And now you got a guy who's sitting here telling us that it takes two to tango, and they don't have any idea. He was asked flat out, is he going to be here long term? I don't know. Takes two to tango. That, to me, says that they've made an offer that Mitch Haniger doesn't like. So, I mean, it's hard to take sides on something like this when you don't know any details about an offer that's been made. Somebody actually tweeted me yesterday and said that he had heard that Mitch Haniger was offered a long-term contract. I haven't heard that from anybody yet until now. I haven't seen that from anybody until now. I think Corey Brock is going to actually swing by about 4:30 or so today so we can ask Corey on the air what he's heard about that. But it is absolutely possible. One of two things can be true, that Mitch Haniger feels like he's being lowballed or that the Mariners have made a very fair offer and Mitch Haniger just feels like you said, I can get more on the open market. I don't know what's true.
Why does my gut tell me that the Mariners are trying to get a hometown discount? I mean, that seems like not lowball. I mean, a lowball has the connotations of they're just throwing out an offer that they know that Mitch Haniger's not going to accept. I don't necessarily think that's the case.
Right.
But I do feel like because of Mitch's inconsistency due to his injuries, I think the Mariners are probably throwing out a contract that reflects that Mitch Haniger won't necessarily be healthy for the entire term of that contract, Mitch probably doesn't like that.
Well, you remember what happened with the injuries, right? He had the great year in 2018. He played 157 games, had an OPS of .859, comes back in 2019. He pops his potato, ruptures his radish, goes to hell in a handbucket. We talked about this yesterday. I mean, the ruptured testicle led to everything. It led to the knees. It led to the back. He had all kinds of problems rehabbing and coming off that injury. So I don't know if it's fair to call Mitch Haniger injury prone or not. I'm not saying you are. I'm not saying the M's are even saying that. I have no idea. But when you can trace a guy's injury problems back to a freaking freak accident, right, when he literally ruptured his testicle swinging at a pitch at home freaking plate, I have no problem giving this guy a long-term deal, but it's got to be fair market value. And if it's not fair market value, I don't blame Mitch Haniger for sitting it out. And to answer your question about your gut tells you the M's are looking for a hometown discount, I totally agree with that. 1,000% that's exactly what they're doing. You know why? Why wouldn't they? Why wouldn't they look for a hometown discount? If they're willing to lock this guy up right now, 6 months before free agency starts, 7 months before free agency starts in November, why would they not go down that road? The question is, how far are they willing to go with the offer that they've made? I mean, heck, John Stanton's going to be here at 4:45 today. The damn owner of the team is going to
be a good guy to ask.
He's going to be sitting here in an hour and a half with us. If we don't ask him on the air, have you made an offer to Mitch Haniger, then we're not doing our freaking job.
Do you think if they would have offered him a contract in May of last year?
Yeah.
Same contract.
Right.
You think he would have taken it?
I don't know.
Or do you think because he had such a good season last year,
right,
he feels like the Mariners' window of opportunity to offer him a deal is gone, at least for now, until I see what else is out there.
Well, I know this, that they reached a deal for 7 point whatever to avoid arbitration for this year. And we know that there are players that go on record, and sometimes they stick with their word, sometimes they don't. But they say things like, hey, if we don't get a deal done by opening day, I'm done.
Right. Russell said that.
Aaron Judge just did it with the Yankees. In baseball, Aaron Judge literally just did it with the Yankees like a week ago, okay? And that's when Brian Cashman came out and said, well, we offered him $20 million a year and $17 million a year. What do you guys want from us? So I don't know how dug in Mitch Haniger is on this thing. I got no idea. I mean, the next step is somebody's got to ask him, right? The next person to talk to freaking Mitch Haniger, whether it's us or one of the beat writers or a radio guy or Corey Brock or Dan Kramer or somebody, but we're going to have the owner sitting with us in an hour and a half from now. John Stanton's going to be here at 4:45, and that's absolutely a topic because I think he's a guy that you want back. Now, you could argue that, hey, if we bring Mitch Haniger back on a long-term deal, we are blocking the progress of a guy like a Julio Rodriguez or a Kyle Lewis or a Jared Kelenic. And that's another, you know, question for Jerry. I don't know if Ian was able to ask this or not, but, you know, once Kyle Lewis is healthy and playing, don't we all still think of Kyle Lewis as a center fielder for this baseball team?
We hope.
Right? So Julio Rodriguez is your right fielder.
Yep.
And Jared Kelenic's going to be in left because Jared Kelenic is not a corner outfielder. He is a center fielder or a DH, and he's not a DH right now because the guy can't even think about hitting right now. He's got to be out there doing something to distract
him. So
we're
going
to
pay Mitch Haniger to be a DH for 4 years?
Maybe, yeah. You need one. I mean, he could be a rotational guy in the outfield as well, right?
Well, then you got to pay him.
You
like
give
that,
Julio though. A day off. You give Lewis a day off. You play Haniger in the outfield and right field. He can be your DH. I mean, haven't we learned that you got to have four guys out there and one of them can be your designated hitter? And then you got Jesse Winker out there. Maybe they feel like, this is why I just love talking about this stuff because all of it's speculation.
Right.
Nobody has any idea what the hell they're talking about because all we're doing is going by the little nuggets and morsels of information that we just heard from Jerry Dipoto. You know, they just got Jess Winker to be your left fielder, right? And your DH. And then you've got Julio, you got Kyle Lewis, you got Jared Kelenic, and you apparently, according to Jerry, want to get Mitch Haniger re-signed. That's five guys for four spots.
I think we just answered why the Mariners aren't offering the type of money that Mitch Haniger is looking for.
Maybe.
Because of that exact reason.
Maybe.
And you know what? I don't really blame the Mariners because I don't think Mitch Haniger's a guy that you break the bank for. I think Mitch Haniger's a really nice player. He's one of my favorite players on this baseball team, but I don't think he's a star.
Yeah.
I think he's a really good baseball player. That's it.
Yeah, again, I got no idea what they're offering him, Dick. I mean, no idea. You know, are they giving him $10 million a year? Are they giving him $15 million a year, $20 million? He thinks he's worth $25. I got no damn clue. All I know is this. This is actually a really, 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 really good problem for the Mariners to have. The fact that we are sitting here on opening day and we are talking about five guys between Kelenic, Julio, Kyle Lewis, Winker, and Mitch Haniger, five guys for four spots, but the only real guy of that group that's proven is Mitch Haniger. You can argue Winker, but only from one side of the plate.
Mm-hmm.
But the fact that we're sitting here talking about five dudes for four spots shows you, like you just said, you know, 20 minutes ago, 10 minutes ago, that this team has depth out there that they haven't had for a long damn time.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm so excited. Now, having said that, I do have concerns about Kyle Lewis being able to play.
Sure.
I do have concerns about Jared Kelenic not only ever being able to be the superstar that a lot of people thought he was going to be, but even being there's concerns that I have that he's even going to be an above-average Major League Baseball player. I mean, we thought Dustin Ackley was going to be the second coming, man, second overall pick, and Dustin Ackley went, and Jared Kelenic was, what, the fifth overall pick, and we thought he was going to be the guy, and the Mariners have – made some questionable timing decisions on when to put him on the big league roster, and I think that's gone a long way in affecting how he's played the first year and change.
Yeah, I mean, it's possible that you're right. It's also possible that he would have had that problem no matter what they did with him. You know, they could have left him in AAA for a year and a half and whatever, let him marinate for a while, and he may have come up and had the exact same issues that he's having now. And that's the difference between a guy like a Julio Rodriguez versus Jared Kelenic. And let's hope that what we saw from Jared Kelenic yesterday is the start of something different for him. I don't see a guy in Rodriguez that looks overwhelmed at the plate I don't see a guy in Julio Rodriguez that looks like he's not having any fun. I don't see a guy in Julio who's doubting himself. And up until yesterday, I saw all those things from Jared Kelenic. Now, again, knock on wood, let's hope that yesterday was the start of something big. Apparently, did you hear he went to Divish? He saw Divish at the hotel. He said, hey, I'm getting two hits tomorrow. And he went out, went 2-for-4 with a bomb.
That's all he's got to do. Call a shot.
Yeah, or maybe he busted a shrink or something, for God's sakes. Maybe he called the 1-800 therapy line or whatever, and he finally got to talking to somebody and pulled his head out of his backside. But, I mean, look, it is so much easier said than done, dude. And you know exactly what I'm talking about. Like, I'm on the golf course this morning, and I'm talking to a buddy of mine about his game, and I'm giving him tips. You know what I'm doing with those tips myself? Nothing. I'm doing the exact opposite. Yeah. I can talk and talk and talk and talk and talk all day long about what you should be doing, and, hey, think about this and focus on that. But then when I go out and
There's no question.
I don't do that. I don't do it. That's practice what I preach. It's very easy for us to sit here and tell Jared Kelenic what he should be doing with his brain to get himself back on track. It's totally different to do it.
Well, that's why my son's a better golfer than I am. Because I tell him things that actually work, and I don't listen to the things I tell him.
Yeah, it's nuts, right? I mean, this game is all about freaking confidence, all about confidence. So all it's going to take for this kid is a way just to pop out of it, and maybe this weekend's the weekend. I'll tell you what, this is a big weekend for me. And it may not mean a lot when it's all said and done. I mean, look, if the Mariners obviously, finish a game out of a playoff spot and they lose 2 out of 3 or get swept, or they finish a game out behind the Astros, then we can talk about it by the end of the year. But I think this is kind of another measuring stick for these guys, right? I mean, typically when the
this
Mariners...
This series, you mean?
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. You know, I mean, it's April. I get that. And they could easily get swept by these guys and then go there and sweep them on their next 3-game, road trip down there. But it's going to be a fun weekend because it's another little opportunity for the Mariners to show the fans and themselves how far they've come.
No question.
That's it.
And, there's four things that can happen. And if either one of the two extremes happen, think about what the city is going to feel like on Sunday night. I mean, if we sweep the Astros, just like book your World Series tickets, right? If we go 0-3 against the Astros, then you're like, we have lost 7 of 8. We're in the cellar in the American League West, and here we go again.
Right.
If there's anything in the middle, whatever. 1-2, but you look good. 2-1, and you look okay. I mean, that you just move on. But, I almost kind of want to see one of the extremes just to see what the city's going to do, either one side or the other.
Well, they were 8-11 against these guys a year ago.
It's a hell of a lot better than what they were the two previous years.
Absolutely.
Which is like 1-30 or something.
Yeah, so they're starting to get a little better against these guys. But, again, it's – whatever, make of it what you want to, whatever happens this weekend, but there's a chance here for these guys to really kind of measure themselves against a team that a lot of people still think is maybe the best in the league, and if not the best in this division. So we're going to talk about that a lot. Rick Riz is going to join us coming up at the bottom of the hour at 3:30. Corey Brock's going to swing by. We'll do some fun with audio at 4. Hugh Millen's going to be here. John Stanton will be here as well on the radio program. And we got to talk about what's going on with this expansion thing. We got a clip that we're going to play at 3:45. I'm not even sure if you've had a chance to hear this yet. Adam Silver has talked about expansion, and he mentions Seattle, and he mentions Las Vegas, Nevada. So at 3:45, we're going to get to that. Coming up on the radio show, some details as well. You know the name Cam Ward? You know who that is?
Yeah,
the new starting quarterback.
He's got a new car,
I think, Cougars. Right? He's got a new car. He's got a new apartment. He's got $50,000 in cash in his back pocket. What is he doing for all that stuff? We got some details on that from John Canzano. The NBA play-in games are coming up later on today. And we got to talk to Hugh. Hugh Milliman about this DK Metcalf thing that just will not go away. It's not going to die until DK Metcalf gets a deal. And you talked about it on Twitter today about the crazy money getting tossed around for quarterbacks and wide receivers right now in the NFL. And I'll tell you, man, there's a small part of me that wonders if John Schneider and Pete Carroll are starting to get to a point where they're like, hey, man, we like DK Metcalf, but this is getting stupid.
Well, if they look at the numbers, and Mike Sando tweeted it out today, and that's what you're referring to, and I responded to it, that it's not sustainable. And what I mean by not sustainable is you look at from 2017 to 2022, the salary cap has gone up 20% total in 5 years.
Right.
The top quarterback salary and the average of the top five quarterback salaries has gone up almost 50%.
Wow.
And the same thing for the top wide receivers. It's basically the superstar players are taking a bigger and bigger and bigger chunk of the pie, and I think the Seahawks might want to get out of that because that isn't sustainable.
Well, the problem is this is the nature of the beast. This is what teams are doing for these guys. So do you want one or do you not want one?
Right, but if you can't win a Super Bowl with the quarterback making 15%, you're sure as hell not going to win a Super Bowl with the quarterback making 30%.
Well, and they're not going to have a quarterback making 30% because I don't think they're going to find another Russell Wilson for a long time. I mean, I agree with who the hell was it we had on the show yesterday who was talking about that, finding the next great quarterback for this football team. And I think you're going to have to build with a young guy or build with a journeyman guy. I mean, the only reason why Russell Wilson was making that kind of money is because he deserved it, right? And they haven't had a guy that deserved that kind of money in forever. They've had good players, but not like that deserves to be a top of the league type of guy when it comes to his contract. So I think the quarterback situation, Dick, is going to be pretty manageable for a while from a salary cap perspective. But if you want a guy like DK Metcalf, this is the market. I mean, do you want in or not? And if you don't want in, if you look at it down the road long term and you don't want to dance, then get him out of here now. Get rid of him now.
Well,
okay, it's the exact same thing with Russell. They knew he was not going to resign, and they pulled the freaking plug. If that's the case with DK Metcalf, and they're too freaked out to give that guy that kind of money, then move on. We'll talk to Hugh, by the way, about that at 5 o'clock, and he's going to snap on the air when you bring up the idea of getting rid of this guy. So there will be blood and broken bones, I promise you, at 5 o'clock. We're going to break Rick Riz. The voice of summer in Seattle, baby. He's going to join us next on Softy and Dick, live from Jimmy's on First, right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Don't be confused. We're still your home for the Huskies, Kraken, and Seattle's best NFL draft coverage. It's just become more clear. Crystal clear as Seattle's only FM sports station. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, boys and girls, we are back here at Jimmy's on First, getting ready for opening day. M's and Astros coming up later on this evening, and joining us right now on the radio show in crystal clear FM radio, baby, getting ready to call his 85th opening day for the Mariner franchise.
Oh, come on.
Our longtime pal, the voice of summer in Seattle, the legendary Rick Riz. Rico, how the heck are you, man? What's going on?
Stop the intake. It's only my 84th.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Don't make me older than I am, okay? Well, I'm doing great, buddy.
It's great to hear your voice, man. Always fun to have you on the radio show. And you know what? Feel free to be as corny. Feel free to be as nostalgic as you want to be. You've been doing this for a long, long, long time. What does today mean to you, pal?
It means everything. This is my 48th year in baseball, 40th in the big league. So you weren't too far off there, Softy.
Yeah.
But it just means everything. You know, it's like Christmas and New Year's and 4th of July all wrapped into one because, you know, baseball fans who love the game are going to be here or listening on the radio or watching on TV. They want to open up that package and see what they have. They want to see their team, and it's a new ball club. Jerry DePoto has done a great job of putting together this ball club of 28 guys, five all-stars, adding to the roster. So it's just fun knowing that, number one, baseball is back. We do have seven games under our belt. The home opener is always exciting because you have the bunting around the ballpark, and the excitement of the first game at home. It's going to be a sellout crowd. It's got a playoff atmosphere. So, and on top of that, it's Jackie Robinson Day, where all the guys are going to be wearing number 42 in honor of one of the greatest players of all time who changed the game of baseball both on and off the field. So it's going to be a huge night. here at T-Mobile Park. It's going to be a lot of fun, and I'm looking for great things from this baseball team.
When you think about your many Mariner opening days, is there a memory or two that stands out to you that you'll always think about?
Yeah, absolutely. 1983 was my first year in the big leagues, personally, from a personal standpoint, Dick. After 8 years of the minor leagues and riding buses, 8 hours, 12 hours, 16, 18 hours from Memphis to Orlando, Florida, you know, sending resumes and tapes out to different big league clubs and hoping and praying you get an opportunity. And then the finally happened for Dave Niehaus to like my cassette tape and the Mariners to like my tape and invite me to be a part of the radio crew in 1983. That was amazing. It was a dream come true to be in the Kingdome. The Mariners against the New York Yankees after spending 8 years in the minor leagues. I'm watching Gaylord Perry pitch against New York and Ron Guidry for the Yankees pitch against the Mariners. I go, you know what, Toto, we're not in Kansas anymore.
Yep.
So that one really stood out for me. But as far as, you know, an epic ending, 1986 against the California Angels, Jimmy Presley hits a two-run home run at the bottom of the ninth inning to tie the game. And then in the bottom of the 10th inning, it's a grand slam home run to win the ball game. And what a win, the first game of the year at the Kingdome. Jimmy Presley had a huge day for the Mariners. So maybe we'll have one right here tonight. I hope we will.
Well, Rick Riz with us, and you've gone from Perry and Guidry to Gonzalez and Odorizzi tonight with the M's and Astros in game one of this series. And let's first of all go back and get your thoughts on what you saw in Minneapolis and Chicago, and maybe start with Jared Kelenic, who got off to a tough start and hoping he snapped out of it yesterday. What do you see from this kid that's maybe keeping him from kind of lighting that spark, Rick?
I finally saw a kid that, relaxed a little bit. They want to do so well. And one of the hardest things to do, if you're Jared Kelenic, who came up last year and had that experience under his belt, or Julio Rodriguez, you know, or Cal Raleigh or Logan Gilbert, is to slow the game down. It's hard. It's easy to tell them that, but it's very difficult because they want to do so well and try too hard. And sometimes you got to just kick back and relax and enjoy the game like you did and play it like as a little leaguer. And that's what Jared did yesterday. He just went up to home plate and competed. There's a lot of information that these kids get and the veteran players. The veteran players are able to handle it and break it down. But if you're thinking too much at home plate, you know, that's not a good thing. You know, just go up there and let your athletic abilities take over, have a scouting report on what the pitcher is going to throw, what he has, what he wants to throw in certain situations. And just let your God-given talents take over. And that's what I saw from Jared Kelenic yesterday. He hit a rope, guys, off the foul pole down the right field line in Chicago for a two-run home run, his first of the year. Julio Rodriguez is the same type of kid. He's going to get going. Once he gets hot, he's going to stay hot. But this is huge. I mean, it's not easy to get to the big leagues. I mean, Julio's making the jump from basically A-ball. He was at Everett last year, then he went to Arkansas, but basically that's a huge jump. But this kid has the ability. He has the awareness. He's got the baseball savvy to go out there and play center field, which he's done a really good job out there. And it has been easy in the freezing cold and the wind of Minnesota and Chicago. These two kids are going to be just fine.
Well, talk to the home plate umpire nicely tonight before the game, Rick, when you're down there, and just remind him that home plate's only 17 inches wide and not 21, because that's what Julio Rodriguez is facing thus far.
Oh, my goodness, that poor kid.
But, you know, overall, though, how much can you learn about this offense through the first week of the season? Because you've faced 35-degree weather, you've faced monsoons, and you faced cyclones, and you had to play through them all.
Exactly. Not much. You know, it takes about 40 games, and Scott has talked about this quite a bit, you know, at least a month and 40 games to find out what you really have. And, you know, we'll figure that out. But it's really hard to see what you have in April, especially the early part of the season when it's freezing cold. We got snowed out an opening day in Minnesota and played the next day and started that four-game series. And then it was ridiculous yesterday. It was like playing in a cyclone. Two pop-ups, and you see five guys chasing around the infield trying to catch a pop-up that started, you know, over at first base and wound up almost in left field, and a pop-up that was going to second base and wound up behind home plate. And that's what they had to play through in the cold and the rain and the driving. I don't know how Robbie Ray did it. Second inning when Robbie had to go out there and face the White Sox. You know, he had to go clean his spikes after just about every pitch. He had a rough time with his landing foot because he had so much mud underneath his spikes after every pitch. He said when he had the ball thrown back to him from the umpire, it was soaking wet. And I said, how did you handle that? He said, well, I had to keep the ball in my glove. Normally I have it in my hand and then grip it really tight and throw a pitch. So, I mean, the guy is a bulldog. I don't know how he went six in the third innings to try to keep the Mariners in that game, but he did. And I tell you what, that was one great acquisition by Jerry DePoto to pick up Robbie Ray as a free agent, American League Cy Young Award winner. He's something.
Well, no doubt. I said yesterday, Rick, and Rick Riz again with us, opening day coming up tonight over at T-Mobile Park, that Robbie Ray is fantastic, but I think Logan Gilbert has the best stuff in this rotation. I think he's going to be, in the end, eventually prove to be the best of the bunch in Seattle. How about you?
I think he's getting there. Yes, absolutely. His stuff is incredible. He's got an electric fastball, the slider, curveball, changeup. He was very, very good against the Chicago White Sox yesterday. That fastball was his best pitch. It went after one of the best hitting teams in all of baseball. His first start in Minnesota, he threw a lot of pitches early. And to show you how the kid can make adjustments, he was basically going fastball, slider, and then in the bottom of the second with about two guys on and two outs, Pete Woodworth, the Mariners pitching coach, went out there and said, hey, listen, you got four pitches. Why don't you mix in the curveball and changeup, which he did. So he gets that final out in the second, retires the last 10 batters in a row. So the kid is smart. He can make adjustments. His stuff is outstanding. And I think he's going to have a great career in the big leagues for this franchise.
Well, you've gotten to call a lot of hard throwers. Randy Johnson, of course, being the best of all for the Seattle Mariners. But no one has ever thrown a pitch 102.8 miles an hour like Andrés Muñoz has done.
103.
Oh, my gosh. He has fanned the last eight batters he's faced. What do you see as far as the role for him this year?
In the eighth or ninth inning, when he comes in, he's gonna you know, shut down the opposition. He's gonna have a ton of strikeouts. Andrés Muñoz, you're talking about.
Yep.
What a trade with the San Diego Padres that Jerry pulled off a couple of years ago to pick up Ty France and Luis Torrens, Taylor Trammell. Oh, and Andrés Muñoz. This kid's coming back from Tommy John surgery. Mm-hmm. He missed all of last year and then came up at the end of the season. He pitched in the final day right here at T-Mobile Park. And was throwing 101 miles an hour. He lets one go 103 miles an hour yesterday. But he's got a really good slider to go along with it. His mechanics are very, very good. So anytime Scott needs him, it's going to be, you know, late in the ball game or in a spot to get out of trouble earlier than that in the seventh inning. But this kid is unbelievable. So he's been a great addition to the back end of the bullpen. Yeah. He's fun to watch.
Rick, we know you have to go. Does it feel like this offense is still maybe a bat light and that we could potentially see Jerry maybe play a little add-on to this roster as the year goes by? Do they need it?
Softy and Dick, I think they're fine with the guys that they have. I think they're going to get going. You're going to see Rodriguez start hitting. You're going to see Jared Kelnick start hitting and stay hot after what I've seen the last couple of days. Cal Raleigh, you know, with a home run yesterday, Tom Murphy's off to a good start. J.P. Crawford is probably off to the best start of anybody because he hits the ball up the middle, drives the ball the other way, hit 273. He's going to be at the bottom part of the order. But right now, Scott has him in the middle part of the order because he's swinging the hottest bat on this ball club. Ty France is going to hit 291 last year. The addition of Adam Frazier was an all-star last year, hit 324. You know, for the Pittsburgh Pirates who went to San Diego. Then you have Mitch Haniger, who's just, I think, going to have an all-star season already. Three home runs and seven runs batted in. Suarez has hit more home runs than anybody in baseball the last 4 years. Winker's going to start hitting. He was an all-star. So I think they have the guys right here, right now, to get the fans where they haven't been in a long time, and that's the playoffs. It's going to be a fun year, guys.
It is time, man, beyond belief time. Rick, great stuff. Enjoy the game. We'll talk down the road. Appreciate it, pal.
Thanks, Rick.
All right, Softy. Thanks a lot, Dick. Appreciate it.
You bet. Rick Riz, the voice of the Mariners, joining us on the radio program. We'll get a break. We continue live from Jimmy's on First, baby. Crystal clear FM radio 93.3. Make the switch. More from Jimmy's on a big Friday, baby, right here on Sports Radio 93.3 KJR-FM.
Thanks for making the switch to FM with us. Seattle's only FM sports station is spreading our wings. Sports Radio 93.3 KJR FM. Now back to Softy and Dick.
All right, kids, back here at Jimmy's on First, counting down the seconds, baby, to opening day tonight. Gonzalez versus Odorizzi at 6:40 at T-Mobile Park, and a guy who's about to make his debut. We're going to hear from Adam Silver, by the way, the NBA commissioner on expansion in the 4 p.m. segment, so stay tuned for that. But a guy who's about to make his debut at T-Mobile Park with the M's, if you look at his Wikipedia page, by the way, he goes by the Wink, Da Wink, or Bird. I have no idea if those are accurate nicknames or not, but we'll ask Jesse Winker right now if any of that makes any sense. First of all, Jesse, how are you, man? What's going on?
I'm good. How about you guys?
We're good. I'm looking at baseballreference.com, and it says Wink, Da Wink, or Bird for nicknames for you. Does any of that make any sense, or is that nonsense?
Yeah, so this is what we're going to do here. We're going to go Wink and Bird. So Bird is what we called my mom growing up. That was her nickname.
Okay.
So one of the times we had, like, the nickname jerseys, I put Bird on the back of it. Wink, obviously, because of Winker.
Yeah.
But the Wink or Del Wink, we're going to leave that because, you know, that's what they called me over in Ohio, and I asked them not to, and they continued to do that. So we're not going to do that anymore. We're just going to do Wink.
There you go. You know what I'll do? Bird. I'll tell you what I'll do for you. I will contact my friends at baseballreference.com and tell them to get that the hell off your page, for God's sakes.
I never said the Wink ever. It was I never was a fan of it. I thought it was a kind of corny nickname. So we're just going to do Wink.
I love it. Well, Wink is with us on the radio show.
Like
Jesse Winker. Tell us about, first of all, this whole experience, man. Somebody comes to you and says, hey, you know what, pal? If you want to play baseball, you're doing it in Seattle, and you got no choice. Pack your bags. You're going west. What's the last couple of months been like for you, dude?
Oh, man, it's been an absolute treat. It's been a blessing. We got guys, great guys in here. I'm sitting next to Tom Murphy right now. You know, it's an outstanding clubhouse. Outstanding city. Today is my first day in Seattle, and it's a fun time. I'm loving it here, and I'm so happy to be here and have an opportunity to be a part of the team that wants to win.
Yeah, that's not very often when some guy has taken their first AB in a city he's never, ever been in before, and it's his home city. But Jesse Winker joins us here. And, Jesse, what about this park? You've never taken an AB here. What have people told you about hitting at T-Mobile Park?
Well, first off, I've heard about how beautiful of a ballpark it is. And then obviously, you know, it's, I've heard about everything about this ballpark. You know, it's a good place to play, a good place to hit, and I'm looking forward to it.
Well, Jesse Winker is with us on the air. I'm going to ask you a question, Wink, that I'm sure you've heard 1,000 freaking times, and you're probably getting sick and tired of idiots like us in the media asking you about it. But your numbers show that you're a much better hitter against righties versus lefties. Is it unfair to pigeonhole you as a guy that can hit righties but not lefties in the major leagues?
I think so. I think I got pigeonholed early in my career, and I think there is a stigma to that. I think being a young player, I kind of started believing the people telling me that I couldn't hit lefties, and I think over the past couple of years, I've decided I wanted to try my best to kind of break that mold, and I started believing more, and I'm starting to get more at-bats against them, and I've always been able to get on base against them, and now I'm just trying to figure out the angles in which will allow me to drive the ball more against them, and it's just going to take time, and it's going to take some consistent work and effort, and it's something I look forward to figuring out. We got great guys here. It's funny you mention that because this coaching staff here is the first coaching staff that, like, told me, like, hey, like, you can do this against lefties. We do believe it. And there were some people over in Cincinnati that said the same thing, but this is the first time that there's kind of been a game plan, a way of attacking them that's, for me personally, it excites me. And it's something that not only do I care about, but the coaches here care about. And it's, personally, it's exciting.
Jesse Winker joining us here, getting ready for his first ever game at T-Mobile Park and his first day in Seattle here on 93.3 KJRFN. Jesse, talk about the defense because you're out there with a very, very young center fielder. So what type of communication do you have out there with Julio, and how long do you think it's going to take for you to get accustomed to playing with each other?
Not long. He's an outstanding person first, and he's an outstanding ball player second. So
it doesn't take a long time communication-wise when you got great guys like that around you. Yeah, we almost collided, but we were both excited going after a fly ball. And it's one of those things that it's, you know, we were both playing in the stadium where it's loud, it's windy, there's noise going on all over the place, and it was a great learning lesson for both of us. Nobody was at fault. We were both equally in the wrong. I could have communicated better. I'm sure he could have communicated better as well. And, you know, you just move forward. It's probably something I shouldn't have reacted to like I did. But, you know, when you got a big man like that running at you full speed, who's not only ginormous but really fast, you kind of get scared. I'm not going to lie. You kind of get scared. So it's one of those things that we chopped it up. We talked about it, and then we moved forward. And there was a bunch of plays that happened the next game that we both communicated great on. And it was a great learning lesson for both of us.
I don't blame you at all, by the way, for being scared. I'd be right there with you, pal. Well, Jesse Winker is with us on the radio show, about to make his T-Mobile Park debut, coming up against the Astros tonight. Give us a scouting report, dude. Put your sports talk radio, your media hat on, and tell us about Gino Suarez, the guy you brought with you from Cincinnati.
Yeah, you know, I mean, guys hit 50 home runs in the season before. I don't know what else you want me to say. You know, he's a great person. He's a great ball player. He's a great hitter. He cares, and he's always getting better. He's an outstanding teammate. Like, I have nothing but amazing things to say about that man. He's been a teammate of mine for, I think it's our sixth season together now. Let me count this, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22, fifth season together. Well, no, 17, sixth season. Look at us. He's great, man. I'm a big fan of Gino Suarez and his entire family. They're amazing people.
Well, Jesse, you're coming to a ball club that won 92 games last year. They played meaningful baseball until the final day of the season, and there's going to be 46,000 fans in the seats today for opening day. Is it more than just adrenaline? Are there actually going to be some butterflies, even though you're a veteran?
Oh, man, you call me a veteran. That's funny. It's funny to hear that. It's funny being associated with that word, because I do not feel that way at all. I don't think I've earned that title yet, to be honest with you. But, yeah, man, I mean, it's my first time here. I think I'm going to be feeling a lot of different things. It's an exciting time here to be a Seattle Mariner. It's an exciting time to be in the city. I think we're the premier sports team in this city. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm the new guy, but I feel like we are the team here, and it's exciting to get to represent the fans and the people here.
Yeah, well, that's saying something. Yeah. I mean,
they had a hell of a lot better year than the Seahawks did last year.
Well,
so
I mean, Seahawks fans would maybe disagree. Sounder fans might disagree, but I love it. I mean, you got a chance to go out and show that, dude.
I didn't say that to be disrespectful.
I
wasn't trying to disrespect any other sports team here. It's just an exciting time. Definitely to put on the Seattle Mariners. Let's just keep it Mariners related.
Yeah. We love the fact that you're fired up. Nobody's going to be mad at you for being fired up. But I got to ask you, Jess, before you go, Jesse Winker is with us on the radio show. I'm looking at a guy who apparently, and correct me if I'm wrong, because apparently baseballreference.com messed up all your nicknames, who's from Buffalo but went to high school in Orlando. So are we sitting here talking to a Buffalo Bills fan or what?
Yeah, big Bills fan. So I'd make the daily commute from Buffalo to Orlando for high school, believe it or not. No, I was born in Buffalo, moved down to Florida when I was 6, 7 years old. And I like to say I'm from Buffalo because I think my family would agree we are from there. Even though we grew up in Florida, we always had Buffalo and the Niagara Falls, you know, North Tonawanda community in our heart. And we always went back a lot, too. So I like to say I'm from Buffalo.
I love it. Hey, listen, man, go get him. If a Seahawks ever play the Bills again, we've got to put some friendly wagers on
there
that bad boy and see what happens.
Hey, but I've never shied away from a bet on the Bills, especially if you want to bet Hawks versus Bills. I mean, I'll take all your money. No problem.
Yeah, you're probably smart to do that.
We'll bet on anything, by the way, because we're degenerates, so I'm totally with you on that. But, Jesse, great to have you on the show. Great to have you on the show,
awesome.
Man, and we'll
nice
talk down
me.
The road. Appreciate it,
thanks,
buddy.
Thanks, man.
You bet. Jesse Winker with
He's
us
awesome.
On the program. Really fun to have him on. He's going to be a go-to guy for sure. We got a break. We got a little fun with audio / hated you here. That which includes, by the way, a comment from Adam Silver on expansion, and he mentions, Seattle. We'll find out what the hell's going on next on Sports Radio 93.3 KJRFM.